Welcome to this Sunday's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita class. Today we shall be reading and discussing from Madhya Lila, chapter number 10, chapter entitled The Lord Returns to Jagannath Puri, and we will be covering text number 14 to 17. 17 is the verse with the purport by Srila Prabhupada. So that is the one we shall discuss or shall recite together. But verses 14 to 16 I'll recite on my own. So a little bit of context, and I'll discuss a bit more about the context later. We are now reading or discussing a conversation taking place between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and the king of Orissa, Maharaj Prataparudra. So text number 14. Upon hearing this, the king replied, "Why did you allow him to leave? Why didn't you fall at his lotus feet and keep him here?" Text number 15. Translation. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, "Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, and he is completely independent. Being Lord Krishna himself, he is not dependent on anyone." Text 16. Translation. "Still, I endeavored very hard to keep him here. But because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and completely independent, I was not successful." And today, and now, text number 17, the one we have on the board, translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The king said, "Bhattacharya, you are the most learned and experienced person I know. Therefore, when you address Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Lord Krishna, I accept this as the truth." Purport. "This is the way to advance in spiritual science. One must accept the words of an acharya, a bona fide spiritual master, to clear the path for spiritual advancement. This is the secret of success. However, one's guide must be a spiritual master who is actually an unalloyed devotee, strictly following the instructions of the previous acharya, without deviation. Whatever the spiritual master says must be accepted by the disciple. Only then is success certain. This is the Vedic system." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a Brahmana and a realized soul, whereas Prataparudra was a Kshatriya. Kshatriya kings used to obey very faithfully the orders of learned Brahmanas and saintly persons. And in this way, they would rule their country. Similarly, Vaishyas used to follow the king's orders, and Shudras used to serve the three higher castes. In this way, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras used to live cooperatively, performing their respective duties. Consequently, society was peaceful, and people were able to discharge the duties of Krishna consciousness. Thus, they were happy in this life and able to return home back to Godhead. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutan Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha, E Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dinabandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namastute, Tapta Kanchana Gaurange, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Rishabhanu Sati Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnupadaya, Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta, Swami Nityanamine, Namaste Sarasvati Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Paschacha Deshatarine, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The king said, Bhattacharya, you are the most learned and experienced person I know. Therefore, when you address Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Lord Krishna, I accept this as the truth. So there's four beautiful verses we are reading and discussing today. So this chapter is entitled, The Lord Returns to Jagannath Puri. So the king of Orissa, in which Lord Jagannath Puri is part of, was Maharaj Prataparudra. Maharaj Prataparudra was a devotee, and he was attracted to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he approaches Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and he inquires whether Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could arrange a meeting between him and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya responds that, actually, I don't think this is possible for two reasons. The first reason is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a very strict sannyasi. He doesn't meet any worldly people. And a king is considered to be a worldly person, so he's unlikely to meet you. And then secondly, Mahaprabhu is not even here. He's left, he's gone to South India. And then the king says, oh, he's gone to South India. Why didn't you stop him? Why didn't you stop him? And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya responds, and in texts 15 and 16, one word is repeated, an important word, Swatantra. This is a Bengali word. Any Bengalis here? Hare Krishna. What is the meaning of Swatantra, Prabhu?
Independent.
Independent, yes. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is saying that the Lord is completely independent. Now, since this word is used twice, it's worth exploring a bit more. It's very interesting. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says to Maharaj Prataparudra that actually I tried to make him stay. But the Lord is completely independent and he acts according to his own will. Actually, this pastime, before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left for South India, one day he called his followers and he held their hands and he told them, I'm now going to break some news to you. I'm going to be going away for a while. I'm going to go to South India. And that was like a thunderbolt on the hearts of the devotees. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was their life and soul. Their lives revolved around Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they were completely devastated. Anyway, they said, oh, you are the Lord, you want to go. But please, take some people with you. Take some of us with you. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, under the guise of criticizing, it's beautiful verses, that itself can be discussed for a whole class. Anyway, he found some fault in the devotees and he says, you know, anyway, I can't go with you all. Then Nityananda Prabhu says, okay, you have to accept this proposal. We'll give you one brahmana, a very simple brahmana by the name of Krishnadas. He has to go with you because he has to go with you because you have your loincloth, you have your chanting beads, and you have your water pot. And when you're chanting, you're counting, so your hands are occupied. So who's going to carry your loincloth and your water pot? So Lord Nityananda convinced the Lord he should take somebody. Mahaprabhu said, okay, I'll take somebody with me. But then Mahaprabhu said, before I go, I would like to see Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very close associate with Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu goes to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and he tells, breaks the news to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that I'm going. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is, again he says, like a thunderbolt struck his heart. Immediately he felt of the feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He held the Lord's feet and he says, my Lord, you can't go. You can't go. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his heart sold out to his devotees. He says, okay, I'll stay. I'll stay for a few days. And Mahaprabhu stays for 5 days. And after 5 days, after a little conversation, Mahaprabhu departs on foot with the one brahmana to South India. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya collapses. He faints. And he said, Mahaprabhu doesn't even look back. He just walks away. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, that is the way of the Lord. One can never understand his heart. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is explaining here to Maharaj Prataparudra that he tried to keep the Lord, but the Lord is completely independent. Swatantra. Swatantra. And this point of the Lord being independent is very important. Actually, in the very first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's a completely amazing verse written by Vedavyas. And practically he said, Srila Vyasadeva compacted the entire Vedic knowledge into the first verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadiyasyan Yato Vayad Itarascharteshu abhikya swarat tene brahmaridaya adhikavaye muyanti yatsuraya tejo varimridam yata vinimayo yatra trisargo mrisha damna svena sada nirasta kuhukam Satyam Param Dimahi. So this is a very important verse, the best verse. And in the very first line, Srila Vyasadeva writes, Abhigya Swarat. Now, the Bengali for independent is Swatantra. And the Sanskrit for independent is Swarat. So Srila Prabhupada says, this is the first quality of the Lord, is Swarat is independent. Actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself makes this point in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the Antya Lila, 3rd chapter, verse 63, the Lord says, while speaking to Damodar Pandit, the Lord says, "You are most neutral among my associates." This is very good. For without being neutral, one cannot protect religious principles. So, the Lord is the ultimate propagator of religious principles. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, without being neutral, it is not possible to propagate. One has to be neutral. And even in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the author, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he also says the same thing in the Madhya Leela, the second chapter, 86th verse. He says, in this Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is no contradictory conclusion, nor is anyone else's opinion accepted. I have written this book to describe the simple substance as I have heard it from superiors. If I become involved in someone's likes and dislikes, I cannot possibly write the simple truth. To propagate religious principles, to write transcendental literature, one has to be independent. Because if one is not independent, one's judgment is skewed. Actually, even in the corporate world, whenever there's a board meeting, at the very start of the board meeting, they say, has anyone got any conflict of interest to declare? And then if anyone's got any conflict of interest, they will say, I have to declare this conflict. And then the board will say, so you'll have to abstain on any vote or decision on that point. Because you're conflicted in your evaluation of the situation. One has to be completely independent. One has to be completely independent. So Krishna is independent. And there's two aspects to independence. The first aspect is one must not be dependent on anyone or anything or any situation for anything. Like we are completely dependent. We are dependent on the farmers to grow our food. We're dependent on someone to give us knowledge. We depend on someone to give us a salary. We're dependent on our parents to grow us. We're dependent on our teachers to educate us. We're dependent on the demigods to provide us with air to breathe. We're dependent on the body to function properly. We are completely and utterly dependent. But the strange thing is, we still consider ourselves to be very independent. Prabhupada said, if you analyze, the only dependence that we really have, independence we have, is whether we choose to serve Krishna or not. Otherwise, our lives are completely controlled. Our lives are controlled by the modes of material nature. Krishna says, in the Bhagavad Gita, that Prakrite kriyamana ni gunai karmak sarvasa ahankara vimudatma kartaam iti manyate. That the spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities, which are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. And then our karmas, we are controlled. So Krishna, he is not dependent on anyone. He is Atmarama, completely self-satisfied. He doesn't depend on any farmer to grow him food or give him anything. He is completely and utterly independent, Krishna. And the second aspect of independence is one must be able to do what and when one wants to do at any point. This Krishna, only Krishna can do. He can He can choose to do anything he wants at any point in time. Therefore, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the only person who can, we truly can say, is Swarat or Swatantra. And therefore, Srila Vyasadeva makes this very important point and this emphasizes this quality of the Lord in the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Jai Shri La Prabhupada Ki Jai. But dear devotees, here is a paradox. I want to read you one verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by the Lord Himself, where He declares that He is not independent. And it's worth discussing this verse. So the context of this verse, it's the pastime between Maharaj Ambarish and Durvasa Muni. Maharaj Ambarish is a great devotee of the Lord. He inadvertently offends the great sage Durvasa Muni by taking some water and breaking his fast before Durvasa Muni had taken his meal, who was a guest at his residence and who had been invited by Maharaj Ambarish. Durvasa Muni becomes very angry. He takes a strand of hair, throws it to the ground, manifests a big demon. The demon attacks Maharaj Ambarish. Maharaj Ambarish doesn't move an inch, completely surrendered to the Lord. And the Lord, being offended by Durvasa Muni's action, sends the Sudarshan Chakra after Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni starts to run. And he runs all over the universe, trying everything he could, hiding in any cave and to evade the Sudarshan Chakra. But he fails. Then he thinks, what can I do? He goes to Lord Brahma. And he says, Lord Brahma, you are the most powerful person in this universe. Can you help me neutralize the Sudarshan Chakra? And Lord Brahma says, sorry, this is the weapon of the Lord. He's the most powerful. Then in desperation, he goes to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva says the same thing. I am powerless against Sudarshan Chakra. It's the weapon of the Lord. I can't do anything. So Maharaj Ambarish says, Durvasa Muni says what to do. Then Lord Shiva says, you need to go to Lord Vishnu himself. And you need to ask him to revoke. Then he goes to Lord Vishnu. And he says, Lord Vishnu, can you please revoke the Sudarshan Chakra weapon, which is burning my back and is going to devastate me? And the Lord says, I can't help you. He says, what do you mean you can't help me? This Sudarshan Chakra is your weapon. He says, have a heart. Don't you have a heart? Can't you remove this weapon? And then the Lord speaks this verse. He says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. This is the ninth canto. I think 7th chapter, verse 63. Fourth chapter. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Aham bhakto paradino I ashvatantra iva dvija sadubir grasta ridhayo bhakter bhakta jana priha. So the Lord says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said to the Brahmana, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the core of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are the devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. So the Lord is saying, I'm not dependent, independent. I am completely controlled by my devotees. So this is the paradox here. The Lord is said to be completely independent, and at the same time, he declares that he is dependent. In the 9th chapter, the 29th verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarvoham sarvabhuteshu na me dvijasti na priyaha ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktiya mai te teshu chapi aham. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend in me, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. So what is the verdict? Is Krishna independent? Or is he not independent? Actually, this is such an important question. Such an important question. In the first chapter of the 7th canto, Maharaj Parikshit asks this question to Shukdev Goswami. He says to Shukdev Goswami, I have a doubt. There's been a debate for many centuries about whether the Lord is partial or not partial. What is the actual situation? And Shukadev Goswami says, this is an excellent question, Parikshit Maharaj. Excellent question. And I shall answer it. Does anyone, the students of Srimad Bhagavatam, know the answer? What answer Shukdev Goswami gave? Is Krishna partial or not partial? He's partial to his devotees. Yes. Actually, Shukdev Goswami says, this concept of being partial or not partial, to see one as either friend or enemy, that only exists within the heart of someone who is conditioned. Someone who is under the modes of nature. He says, the Lord is completely free of any influence of the modes of material nature. Therefore, it is impossible for this conception of friend or enemy to exist within the heart of the Lord. But then Shukadev Goswami said, I want to narrate something to you. He said that during the Rajasuya sacrifice, Yudhisthira said to Narad Muni, I personally saw Shishupal, after he was killed, enter into the body of the Lord. Also, I am aware that Shishupal, from his very birth, used to insult and criticize Lord Krishna. Normally when one does that, it's an offense, and one gets struck down by some disease or calamity. But Shishupal lived a completely happy and healthy life, his whole life. And he entered. How is this so? How is this so? And then Narad Muni explains, again the same point, that Krishna, he cannot see any friend, or he doesn't distinguish between an enemy. Actually, the only time Krishna acts as enemy, when he sees somebody in their heart, they want Krishna to be their enemy. Krishna says, okay, you want me to be your enemy? Although I don't see you as enemy, I'll act as your enemy, because that's what you want me to do. Actually, you're not my enemy, and I don't see you as enemy. But since you want me to do that, I'll do. Because I try to fulfill the desires of everyone. So Krishna did this. And then he goes on to say, actually, Shishupal and Dantavakra and Ravan and Kumbhakarna and Kamsa and who was Kamsa's colleague? Anyway, it evades me. They were all incarnations, or they were all how can I say, manifestations of Jaya and Vijaya. And they were cursed, but they were actual devotees of the Lord. And then it goes on. But the point being that Krishna is actually not partial. He is independent. And actually part of his independence is he can choose to be partial. If he had to conform at all times that he has to be independent, he has to be partial, he has to see everyone equally, and he cannot favor his devotees, then he's not independent. Being independent, Krishna at any point in time, he can choose, I want to favor my devotee. And that's part of his independence. His complete freedom to choose to favor his devotee or not. So it's very interesting, but Krishna, he's completely independent and simultaneously also controlled by his devotees. And that is part of his independent nature. So I thought that was an interesting point of discussion. Now coming back to today's verse and the purport. So Srila Prabhupada explains that this is the way to advance in spiritual life. And what is the way Srila Prabhupada is talking about here? It is the way that Maharaj Prataparudra had responded. Up to this point in time, Maharaj Prataparudra considered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just to be a very elevated devotee and saint. He had no conception that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna himself. So when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya declared that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, without hesitation, immediately he accepted. And he said, you are the most learned and expert person I know. Therefore, if you are saying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, I accept him as Krishna. There is a point in our lives, I don't know about you, but me. I grew up, I never knew or heard about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when I was in my late teens, I went to the Hare Krishna temple as a student. And in the temple in Durban, we have the deities of Shishi Radha Radhanath. And on the left of, on the right of Radhanath is a deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when I saw the altar, who is this person? I never, in my life. So I asked them, who is that person on the altar? They said, he's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I said, who is he? They said, he's Krishna himself. And at that point in time, you know, because the devotees were saying, I accepted, but I didn't know what to make of it. Because I said, if he is Krishna, I would have heard of him. But I never heard of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu my entire life. But Sarva Maharaj Prataparudra, he immediately accepted. And Prabhupada says here, one must accept the words of the Acharya, bona fide spiritual master, to clear the path for spiritual advancement. This is the way for spiritual advancement. You know, in religious studies, you have various ways of rejecting or accepting knowledge. One is called unqualified acceptance, where without any qualification one accepts it. The other one is called qualified acceptance. Oh, you got to convince me of this, and then maybe I'll accept it. Then there is something called qualified rejection. You reject it on some sound basis, and then there's unqualified rejection, where you just reject something without any qualification. So the path of bhakti requires unqualified acceptance. But some people may challenge, is this blind following? Is this blind acceptance? No, it's not. Prabhupada explains This is the parampara system. Actually, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's also one very interesting pastime that took place that relates to this point. And in the seventh canto, the seventh verse, Prahlad Maharaj explains how he came to Krishna consciousness. In Back to Godhead magazine, sometimes you see these articles, How I Came to Krishna Consciousness. I love those articles. They're my favorite articles. So Prahlad Maharaj explains how he came to Krishna consciousness. And he narrates there that at one point in time, his father, Hiranyakashipu, had gone to the Mandarachal hills to perform his austerities. And when he was performing these austerities, he was invoking tremendous fear in the hearts of the demigods. So the demigods, when Hiranyakashipu was gone, what did they do? They attacked his kingdom. They attacked his kingdom. They defeated the demons, and Hiranyakashipu's followers, the demons, they fled. And when they fled, they destroyed Hiranyakashipu's kingdom. And then they caught the wife of Hiranyakashipu, Kayadu, and they were dragging her. They were dragging her, and she was, you know, appealing to them not to do that. And then at that point in time, Narad Muni saw the scene, and he appeared. And he said, "What are you doing?" They said, "This is the wife of the demon Hiranyakashipu, and she's pregnant. So we are going to capture her, and when the child is born, we will kill the slight child, because this child must surely be a big demon." Then Narad Muni says, "You're doing something wrong. Actually, the child within the womb of Kayadu is a great devotee of the Lord, an unalloyed devotee. A devotee whose glories will be sung forever." And then when Narad Muni told the demigods that, how did they react? Anyone remembers in the Bhagavatam, the seventh canto, how did the demigods react? Yes. Immediately they said, they let Kayadu free. They released her. Then they started circumambulating Kayadu, going round and round Kayadu. Immediately, when Sri Narad Muni told the demigods that there's a devotee in there, they didn't say, "How can a devotee be in the womb coming from a demon? How is this possible? How did you get this fact? How do you know that?" They never said anything like that. Immediately they said, or they didn't, they just released Kayadu. And they circumambulated her. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes something. Prabhupada writes very nicely. Prabhupada says, "Although King Indra and the other demigods are exalted personalities, they were so obedient to Narad Muni that King Indra immediately accepted Narad Muni's words concerning Prahlad Maharaj. This is called understanding by the parampara system. Indra and the demigods did not know that a great devotee was in the womb of Kayadu, the wife of Hiranyakashipu, but they accepted the authoritative statements of Narad Muni and immediately offered their respects to the devotee by circumambulating the woman in whose womb he was living. To understand God and the devotees by the parampara system is the process of knowledge. There is no need to speculate upon God and his devotee. One should accept the statements of a bona fide devotee and try to understand." So this is so important. Actually, Prabhupada, I said this before, but I'll say it again. Once Prabhupada asked the devotees, "What is the most important verse in the entire Shastra?" If someone asks you that question, what is the most important verse in the entire Shastra? What would you say? Okay. Prabhu, if someone asks you, what is the most important verse in the entire Shastra? What would you say? Yare dake tai kare Krishna upadesh amara agya. No, it's not that one. Anyone else? Prabhu, if someone asks you, what's the most important verse in the entire Shastra, what would you say?
1866.
Sarva dharma parityaja mam ekam sharanam raja. Okay. Srinivas would know this. So, the devotee is saying, Sarva dharma parityaja. No, Prabhupada, no. Harinam, Harinam, eva kevalam. No. So many devotees were saying this verse, that verse, that verse. And Prabhupada says, you're all wrong. I'll tell you what's the most important verse in the Shastra. Yasya deve para bhakti, yata deve tatoguru, tasyaiti iti katita, prakashante mahat manaha. This is a verse from the Svetashvartar Upanishad. Only onto those great souls who have implicit faith in the words of the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of the Vedic knowledge revealed. This is what Prabhupada says to be the most important verse in all of the Shastras. One who has implicit faith. Implicit faith in the words of the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge revealed. Revealed. But then Prabhupada makes a qualification here. Prabhupada says, such a spiritual master or acharya has to have certain qualifications. First qualification, he has to be an unalloyed devotee. Second qualification, he has to strictly follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And third, he has to act without deviation. It's interesting that Prabhupada didn't say he has to be an Uttama Adhikari. Prabhupada makes the point he has to be an unalloyed devotee, following the parampara, strictly following the instructions of the spiritual master without deviation. What does unalloyed devotee mean? You know? Prabhupada always, many times in his books he writes, unalloyed devotee. Unalloyed devotee. What does unalloyed devotee mean? Parth Prabhu, you know? Not colored by any material modes. Okay. Prabhu?
This term unalloyed Prabhupada got when he got down and was to the airport. He saw there something written unalloyed seal.
Yeah.
So then he said, actually, the devotion, devotion service should be unalloyed.
Yeah.
Basically, it means pure devotion.
Yeah. So a metal is considered to be an alloy when you add some other metals to it. Like steel, if you add other steels, other metals to it, it's called an alloy. When it's pure steel, got no other metals to it, added to it, it is called unalloyed steel. So devotion. What, when added to devotion, makes it alloyed? Or what has to be removed from one's devotion for it to be unalloyed? There's three things. This is from Srila Rupa Goswami's definition of unalloyed devotee, the Anya Bilashita Sunyam verse. So what three things must not be there for it to be unalloyed devotion? Jnana. Jnana, yet the desire for jnana, knowledge, means speculative knowledge, with the ultimate desire for moksha. So that's one thing. If in one's devotion, there's some harboring of some desire for speculative knowledge or moksha, then that's alloyed. That's one. Next one. Must be free of fruitive activities. That means, yeah. Desire for fruit means you do something and you expect something in return. So that's the second one. Must be free of that. And the third one. Yeah, that's fruit of activity. Karma, jnana karma. Think of the verse. Anya bilashita shunyam. Shunyam means make zero. Jnana karmadi anavritam. Jnana is speculative knowledge. Karma is fruit of activities. Adi. Adi is what? The desire for yogic siddhis. Yogic siddhis. So one's devotion should be free of any motivation. And then Srila Rupa Goswami adds a few other elements. It should be favorable. It should be continuous, uninterrupted. So once Srila Prabhupada was asked by the reporters, by a reporter, how many pure devotees you have in your movement? And Prabhupada said, turn to Brahmananda. Brahmananda, how many devotees we got in New York? 30, Prabhupada. Brahmananda, how many devotees we got in San Francisco? 25, Prabhupada. How many devotees we got in Montreal? So many. Prabhupada added up. He said, you reported, that's how many pure devotees I have. So Prabhupada considered, even if they were very new, but if their devotion was uncontaminated by any of these elements, then it was pure devotion. That is a very... And actually, if you think about this this definition by Srila Rupa Goswami, it is a brilliant definition. One devotee explained it once, and I really appreciated that explanation. He said, pure devotion must be free of any hostility. I said, yeah, that makes sense. Hostility means you have some envy against Krishna. So when one has the desire for fruit of results, there's a little hostility there. Because you're thinking, I want something. If you have the desire for yogic siddhis, there's some hostility because you want something. And if you have the desire for liberation, there's also some hostility because it's the element of I and mine. The ankar is still existing there. So it's very interesting that Srila Prabhupada says. And then in the purport, Prabhupada goes on to talk about the Varnashram system. Prabhupada says, if the Varnashram system operates on this basis, people will be completely happy, and at the end they will go back to Godhead. And Prabhupada says that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a Brahmana, Maharaj Pratapurudra was a Kshatriya. The duty of the Kshatriyas is to accept the guidance and instructions of the Brahmanas, and when they do so, they will be happy and successful. And then the same with the Vaishyas. If they accept the order and direction of the Kshatriyas, who are the controllers and the administrators, there will be peace. And then the Shudras, who are the workers, if they don't go on strike, they don't rebel, they are treated properly by the Vaishyas, there's peace. So Prabhupada is making the very simple point here. That this principle that is being mentioned and stated in this verse, this principle of acceptance and submission, it is the core principle for functioning and proper functioning and happiness within human society. It's very difficult for a conditioned soul because by nature we are unchaste. We are unchaste, you know, to accept something without challenging, to accept something without proof that satisfies us is very, very difficult. But the Vedic system is we follow the words of the Acharya, and that is the fundamental principle of Krishna consciousness. So it's quarter to now. I said quite a bit. I just also want to cite two other examples of this. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, Maharaj Parikshit asked Shukadev Goswami the most important question. What is the duty of one who is about to die? What should he hear about? What should he speak about? Who should he remember? And who should he worship? And in one shot, Shukadev Goswami says, the duty of one who is about to die is to always hear about, speak about, and remember the all-good personality of Godhead. And Maharaj Parikshit immediately accepted. He's going to die within 7 days. His guru told him that. And then Shukadev Goswami said, shall we do that? And Maharaj Parikshit said, yes, please. And for the next 7 days, he spoke. In the, I think it's the 6th chapter of the first canto, Vedavyas himself is sitting in this ashram in Badrinath. He's feeling very disturbed. And he's wondering to himself, why is he disturbed? He's written all of the Vedic literatures. He's explained the complete Vedic science. But still he's feeling an emptiness within his heart. What could be the cause of his disturbance? And then in comes Narad Muni. And Narad Muni chastises him and says to him, it's very simple. It's very simple why you are disturbed. I've done a review of all your books. And if anybody reads your books and you ask them what is the supreme goal of Vedic knowledge and what is the supreme process, they wouldn't know because you've confused them by writing so many things. Now you simply describe the supreme personality of Godhead. And Vedavyas immediately, he tells his guru, I accept. And he writes Srimad Bhagavatam that is only about Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead. So this is there throughout our tradition, this fundamental principle. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
The reason the demigods had faith in Narada Muni is because he had a history of being right all the time. So it's very easy to have unconditional acceptance. So faith has to be realized. You have faith, your faith is realized to be true, and then you can have greater faith from that. Or you could just surrender completely. Prabhupada says you can come to Krishna consciousness instantaneously or it can take 10,000 lifetimes.
True. Process of acceptance is based on faith in the spiritual master. When Prabhupada went to America, the hippies, they just had complete faith in Srila Prabhupada and they accepted all that he had to say. But at the same time, within our tradition, there is scope for us to seek clarification. We accept. And sometimes we accept but we don't understand. And when we accept and we understand, then our faith becomes stronger. So to understand, we are allowed to seek clarification. We are allowed to ask questions. If there's any lingering doubts, we are allowed to ask questions to remove those doubts. That is there in our tradition also. Thank you for that, Prabhu. Any other questions or comments? Okay, if there is no questions or comments, Granta Raj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Go Premanande Haribol.